Turning your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning with verse 1 through 13 in the Old Testament. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This passage of Scripture means a lot to me. It was one of the earliest passages I ever preached when I first began becoming a minister. And in this passage, we see something of very interesting. It's a transition time. But something even more interesting are the characters which come to the forefront of this. It is somewhat adventurous to swim the waters of a highly complicated ocean of drama such as this one. It is fair to say that this extraordinary story has too often been reduced to footnote simplicity. Samuel, God's prophet and the last judge of Israel, is good. Saul, Israel's first king, is bad. And David, a man after God's own heart, is almost perfect. One sermon cannot do justice to all these complexities, but we cannot but be intrigued about this tale of David's secretive and private coronation by Samuel in the tiny town of Bethlehem. David's family heritage was certainly a blue blood lineage. His father Jesse was very well respected as the grandson of Ruth and Boaz, notable Old Testament characters. Bethlehem, the ancestral home of Jesse's family, was of the tribe of Judah. No one could have been more fortunate than David with such a distinguished ancestry. David was a shepherd who was humble, handsome, and devoutly religious. Though God took the blame in choosing Saul as king of Israel, the Israelites themselves were the guilty ones who had made the hasty decision to crown Saul their king over the opposition of Samuel. Samuel had semi-retired, but God was not through with him yet. Though Saul was king, Samuel was the actual spiritual leader of Israel. Saul was not mentally nor spiritually capable of governing Israel. Nothing would have pleased him better than to have eliminated Samuel. King Henry II of England said of Archbishop Thomas à Becket, "Will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?" This also could have applied to Samuel as viewed by King Saul. People who are jealous, immature, and paranoid are not very tolerant of their competition. They will go to great lengths to bully their way to gain ultimate control. Whether it is kings or preachers, power can corrupt. Samuel was aware that he would have to tread lightly so as not to arouse the suspicion of Saul. Samuel was the most beloved person in the land, but that was no insured guarantee against the madness of Saul. Samuel grieved deeply over the shortcomings of Saul. God knew Israel needed a new king and commanded Samuel to seek out a person about whom God would choose. Samuel was notified by God, as we have read in the scripture, that a new successor was sought, and for him to travel to the tiny hamlet of Bethlehem. From there, God would instruct Samuel on his next step. Even with God's assurance of protection, Samuel was scared to death of Saul, because if Saul had found out about this fantastic scheme, Samuel would have been a dead man. Samuel journeyed forward to his destination with reluctancy. Samuel could be labeled as God's undercover agent in search for a new king. There was one problem. Samuel had no idea as to whom the new king of Israel would be. Word had reached Bethlehem by this time that Samuel was coming to town. The city council were shaking in their sandals, but they welcomed Samuel's arrival as their fear and trepidation was taking hold of them. Why? Since Samuel was the spiritual leader of the country, it was anybody's guess as to the reason for a visit. When Samuel said he'd come to hold a sacrifice, it was accomplished with the most sophisticated cover-up in the annals of biblical history, plus a sigh of relief from the town elders. Samuel arrived at the house of Jesse. All the sons of Jesse except one were there. The competition was stiff for kingly candidates that day, and Samuel was quite impressed with them, but God wasn't impressed. Samuel almost stumbled the same way as Joshua did when there was a tribe called the Gibeonites who approached the children of Israel as they had entered the promised land back many centuries before. And Joshua received these Gibeonites because these Gibeonites had heard that the children of Israel had destroyed all nations that had gotten in their way. So the Gibeonites decided and plotted that they were going to become allies with the Israelites. They were very scheming, as I said. They were also devious, but also very intelligent. So what happened? They pulled the wool over Joshua and the leaders of Israel's eyes. And Joshua made a covenant with them. He made a covenant that they would be under the protection of the Israelites. And through that deception, they made Joshua believe that they would be devout and loyal to them. But they were also pretending that they were strangers from a distant land. Joshua, the big mistake he had made was he had not prayed about the matter to God and took it upon himself to make a covenant with these Gibeonites, as I said, who eventually became a liability or snare for the Israelites. Just imagine the mistakes and goofs which could be avoided if people pray more to God for wisdom about all matters, large or small. Samuel then asked Jesse if there were other sons, and we know now that David was God's choice as king of Israel. God had saved the best for last, and Samuel anointed him king of Israel. If Samuel had followed his own judgment, David would have not become king, and a tragedy could have happened. A publisher once said about a new manuscript sent to him, "It is a ponderous piece of trash and a waste of money to publish it by an author no one has ever heard." Fortunately, there was someone else nearby that believed it was worth it. The book, Gone with the Wind. Samuel, with guidance from God, and an obedient attitude created the possibility for Israel to achieve its greatness. Worried about what to do next? We all face that. Regardless of the circumstances in the present, or we remember in the past that God has seen us through. So as we travel toward the future, we know not what happens in our lives. We don't know what's going to happen the next 5 minutes, but we are assured of one thing, that God is still in control. And as with Samuel, Samuel did follow what God desired and listened for God's instructions. Have you been listening to God lately? It is easier than you may think. Never underestimate what God can do, even with you. Shall we pray? Oh, gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we have seen Samuel here, who was really caught between a rock and a hard place, we know that Samuel did your bidding. We know that Samuel was blessed for it. But Samuel was also worried too. And he had the same fears and trepidations that we all do. Oh God, when we come to that point, and we may be facing it at this moment, may we know that you will encourage us and be with us, and that we know that you will give us the fortitude to move forward. Help us, O Lord, every day of the week, every minute, every hour, because we know you will never abandon us nor forsake us. Thank you, God, for being God. We thank you through the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.